This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. How are you all doing? It's great to be with you again. This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great week. Mine was pretty busy. I had several EcoCast auditions that I had to do. Plus, I'm putting the finishing touches on some writing that I've been doing. I'm writing a script. So my week has been great. So I hope you guys had a good, safe week within the chaos of this pandemic that we're all going through. So tonight, this is a pretty special show for me because I have wanted to have my guest tonight on for some time. I met my guest tonight. His name is David Angelo. I met my guest tonight because he has a movement called Today I'm Brave. And we'll get into talking about exactly what that movement is. But when I was doing Heartbeat back in 2015, David reached out to my people and wanted to have me be a part of the Today I'm Brave movement. And I was just, you know, I'm still humbled when I go back and watch that video that I did for Today I'm Brave. So I wanted to have David come on and have us have a, you know, a conversation about Today I'm Brave and everything that he's into and up to. So why don't we go ahead and bring him in. David, how are you doing, sir? Thank you very kindly for being here with me tonight.
Thank you so much. It's great to reconnect with you, Mr. Mills. It's been a while, but yeah, enjoyed our conversations in the past, and certainly I'm enjoying being on your show tonight. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very kindly again for being here. So, you know, we'll probably get into several different topics to talk about, David, but at first I would like for you to tell my listeners about the Today I'm Brave movement. I always, when I have guests like you on, I always feel like, you know, when you're going to describe it, the best person to do it is, you know, the person that started it. So can you tell me tell me and my listeners what the Today I'm Brave movement is, how it started, and how long it's been alive and well?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm going to talk to you about the origin. It's always good to go back to when it first started. Mm-hmm. And as we believe that at our company, David and Goliath, we believe that best place to ever start is with the truth, and it's the easiest thing to remember. So it all started back in 2016. We have a philosophy at our company, David and Goliath, called Brave, and we believe that Brave is, it's not about charging blindly into the fray or doing something crazy. It's not about jumping out of an airplane or any of that. It really is about having the courage to embrace who you really are, your authentic truth. And because it's so much easy to be something you're not, especially in today's day and age, right? There's so much fake news, so much, you know, so many posers out there. It's really hard to tell the difference between what's real and what's not. So
yes,
bravery is, it takes a lot of bravery, you know, to be true. And it's not easy. Right. Every day that we're up against a challenge, of some sort, you know, and when you think about it, earlier, we were talking about, Douglas was talking about doing what he loves, you know. Sometimes it takes a tremendous amount of courage, to do what you love, even in the face of today's challenges, right?
And yes.
So bravery, that concept of bravery is all about being true to you. And so, in 2016, I met this pretty amazing person named Tiffany Persons, who is the founder of Shine on Sierra Leone and a Muddy Lotus School. And I sat down with her, with our team, and rather than just make a donation to her nonprofit, you know, we listened to what she had done and the fact that she created this really beautiful school that's all about interdependence and teaching the kids how to sort of go within and embrace their strength and really be incredibly self-aware to the fact that there's something inside all of us that's stronger than any challenge. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed with that. And I was very impressed with her, impressed with that. And I thought, well, you know what? It's not about just giving a donation here. Maybe what we can do is we can create an initiative that could live inside the school, that could serve as a daily reminder, for them that they have that voice and that force that's on the inside, is really their force of brave. And our goal was to help unlock that in ways that, they have never, done before. And during that time, they were going through Ebola. And so, obviously they were up against probably one of the biggest challenges out there. Some of them lost their parents, to the deadly disease. And so we created this movement called Today I'm Brave with these t-shirts and these beautiful manifesto cards. And we sent them, to Sierra Leone along with a video that really talked about what it meant and who we are as an agency and the fact that we are, really sending them great vibes, energy, et cetera, as well as this movement. And so what happened was over, a few months, they had experienced this and they really, really sort of brought this inside the school and really embraced it. And then we got a call, or we got a video from them that really talked about their transformation, their personal transformation. And we thought like, oh my God, this is pretty amazing. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in our office. Mm-hmm. We got to thinking that if we could do that for a small group of kids who were up against a pretty big challenge through, 7,000 miles away, imagine what we could do for the rest of the world.
Yes.
And so from there, we rolled it out. And one of the first places and initiatives that we created was for Children's Hospital in LA. We visited the children being treated for cancer and other life-threatening conditions. And we gave them Today I'm Brave t-shirts and the manifesto cards, which we also call affirmation cards, sight every morning in hopes of raising their spirits. And as much as we inspired them, they inspired us. And it was just a really beautiful moment, that we documented. And, I'll never forget that to meeting these kids who were pretty much up against some, life-threatening challenges, but just to see in their eyes, see the strength that they had in their eyes. And also once we gave them the shirts and the cards, how they felt about it. And that really, really sent a strong message to us that, okay, we can take this even further. And so we then, started embracing other organizations like Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. And we had an employee at our office who was suffering from Crohn's disease. And so we, Today I'm Brave held a booth at the 2016 Take Steps Los Angeles fundraising walk in support of an ambassador. And she wanted others to, at the walk, to share their stories of, bravery. We then held a healing night of comedy for another brave ambassador who lost his arm to cancer. He was an actor and comedian, Rembrandt Sabellis. And we threw a huge event for that to a sold out audience. We then continued to expand this even more, by creating a speaker series called the Brave Speaker Series. And I don't know if you had a chance to come to, I think you did. I think you came to one of the speaker series that we
did.
Yeah. And basically the idea behind that was, to take our idea of sharing brave stories from all over the world, but sharing them live with local audiences. So we hosted 3 speaker events in Los Angeles, all featuring 4 incredibly inspiring speakers who spoke on what bravery means to them, And each of the speakers shared a unique story about, you know, what it meant for them to face their greatest fears and live bravely in the hopes that it empowers others to face their fears and create positive change in their lives. And so we raised like $100,000 for three events, Covenant House. We built a room there, a Today in Brave room that was dedicated to homeless youth career development, as well as raising funds that went to Iraq, Afghanistan, Veterans of America, and then 63 Brave of Shine On Sierra Leone. The 63 Brave are 63 kids who lost their parents to Ebola. And basically what we've done is we created a program with Shine On Sierra Leone to help support them, and provide them with academic scholarships, basic necessities, and of course, social and spiritual support. It kept building after that. We started working with Lava May, holding a underwear drive to supply over 1,200 pairs of clean underwear for, you know, for homeless individuals throughout California. We then provided campfire relief, you know, the big fire that happened up in Oroville. Yes. We provided survival kits to them because most of them were homeless. We then started to meet some pretty amazing people like Ryan Garcia, who's a WBC silver lightweight title holder and ESPN's boxing prospect of the year. We met with him and his brother, who's also a professional boxer, Sean. And they spoke at his alma mater in Victorville. And, of course, we gave him 300 shirts to give to all the kids there and to their parents. And that was pretty awesome. Then we went to the Golden Globes, thanks to GBK Productions. And Today in Brave was featured presence at the Golden Globes gifting suites. And we met a lot of amazing people there. And then probably one of the biggest projects or initiatives that we did was called the Hunt and Roost Project. And this was the island of Puerto Rico was devastated. People's homes were destroyed. So we decided to do something about that. In 2018, we created the Hunt and Roost Project. We partnered with activist Rosie Perez and Ramon Rodriguez, along with an amazing nonprofit called Heart 9/11. We created a social platform to raise funds and awareness, then hosted a star-studded fundraising gala, raised almost $1 million in total, but we ended up building 116 roofs for families in Puerto Rico. And, wow. And the great thing about this was that Heart 9/11's apprenticeship program was all about teaching local Puerto Ricans how to build for themselves in the spirit of Teach a Man to Fish principle. Mm-hmm. And so this ended up becoming, you know, such a sort of uplifting thing, not only for the locals, but it taught them this trade and also enabled them to sort of build for themselves should there be another hurricane. We then created a documentary by Ramon Rodriguez called Palante, that created awareness for the devastation in Puerto Rico. And then Wordsmith is a very famous artist in Los Angeles. We did a collaboration with him and did a billboard in Venice. We then created the Brave Workshops, where we've begun the process of creating workshops for high schools. One in particular is LOXA, Los Angeles High School, County High School of the Arts. Mm-hmm. And basically the idea is to work with ninth graders and help them develop their life manifesto. You know, so they can use that as a filter for everything in life, from the people that they date to the people, to the curriculum that they choose, to the college of their choice, et cetera. And we're going to continue doing that moving forward. And then, you know, I mean, there's so many other things that we've done, the Brave song that we created with the Grammy nominated artist and producer, to what we're doing right now, during COVID. We created this, movement called, the empathy masks, and they're masks that have this type on it that says, "I care about you." And it's message encouraging people to do their part in taking care of others. And the proceeds for the mask will go towards supporting other social causes. We're fueled by Brave stories that you were part of, right? And,
yes.
And it was, I'd say the great thing about the Brave stories is that you're really able to sort of capture the emotion and the bravery that every single person goes through throughout their lives. And you could see and watch all those stories. One of them is yours. And of course, when I first saw your story, I was so compelled by it. I was so inspired by it because of the fact that you came from the streets. You were homeless on the streets. And the fact that you had you know, and I talk about this quite often, that it's that once you become homeless, it's a really tough job, a tough task to find your way out of that. And you did such a great job, in rising from that. And
well, thank
so,
you.
So there's people like you, there's people like, Rosie Perez and Rami Youssef and Kurt Smith of Tears for Fears. And of course, Father Greg of Homeboy, and then Senator Kevin DeLeon. And we've been able to attract quite a few people. And so, you know, our mission is basically to inspire people, mm-hmm. influencers, brands, and organizations to unlock their bravery and fuel change in the world. Because, you know what, man, the world could use a little bit more bravery right now, as we all know. And when you think about that, you know, in light of what's going on in the world, there's so much fear there. But I really believe at the end of the day that we all have it in us to be brave.
Yes. Now, I want to, again, like I said, there's several things I want to talk about with you, but just sticking with this right here, from everything that you just said that you and your organizations are involved with, as well as how the Today I'm Brave movement got started, the number one thing that comes to me is you are helping other people. Everything that you are involved in is a selfless task that you have taken on. And that to me, that just speaks volumes to your character and to the people that you have working around you. So because everything is so selfless, mm-hmm. may I ask, where did you get that want to do so much for others? Would you say it was your upbringing? Would you say it was your life, your life experience, your journey? Where did that level of passion come for you? Because it seems as though it's a never-ending thing. And whenever there is an opportunity for you to help, you are always there. So where did that level of passion come from for you?
I believe that we come into this life, we come into this life with the most amazing energy, mm-hmm. right? And then over time, we inherit all this life conditioning. And when I go back to that energy, the origin of that energy, right?
Yes.
And I think about, you know, no one is born a racist. No one is born to hate. No one is born to fear or doubt or to blame or be self-serving. And I think that I really believe that what's happened is we inherit fear. We inherit all of those things throughout time. And there, deep down inside, that energy, regardless of all that conditioning, that energy is there. And you can call that energy whatever you want. You can call it your gut, your instincts, your source, your God, whatever that may be, right? But that is there somewhere deep down beneath the layers of conditioning, the calcified layers of conditioning. And I really believe when you get to the heart of what that energy really is, it is, A, it's who we really are, and who we really are is one. We are all one until we forget that we are. And so I believe that, you know, when you operate from that energy and that place, I mean, obviously we're going to trip and fall along the way, right? Obviously we're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes, right? We've all made mistakes. That's part of the human experience.
Yes.
But when you understand at the end of the day that you are that energy having a human experience, then all of a sudden it starts to shift. You start to look at things differently. You start to see things through the lens less of the conditioning, and I would call the ego-based, identity. And you start to realize that who you really are is love. Who you really are is empathy. And I kind of have been listening to this voice from day one. Sometimes I don't, you know, but I know that that voice is who I really am. And when I go all in to that voice and turn it up really high, I could see that, that from empathy, I know it's not about the me, but it's about the we, right?
Yes.
And I could see that it's not about fear, it's about brave. I can see that it's not about hate, it's about love. And it's not about doubt, it is about confidence. And the more I go into that empathy and that level of understanding, I realize that there are a lot of people out there who probably aren't listening to that voice or that, you know, that energy. And so my goal is to help people unlock that energy, unlock that, that truth of who they really are and who you really are is brave, right?
Yes.
You really are brave deep down inside. You know, we're all brave. And when you come to that, that sort of level of understanding, then all of a sudden you realize that, oh my God, we have it in us already. We have it in us already to overcome our biggest obstacles. We have it in us already to find a cure, to help the homeless, to help each other at the end day. Because when we realize, when you embrace this wholeheartedly, you realize that we are so much greater together. And we're, when we realize that, that's when we really get to work. And that's exactly what we need right now. I look at systemic racism and I ask myself, how did we get this far? How did we get this far without eradicating this? And why is it still here? And I look at myself as a white leader and I think, even though I grew up in a minority household because my father's Filipino, mm-hmm. I'm still white. I am still a white person, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. I look white because my mother is Portuguese, but I'm still white. And I think to myself, what is my responsibility out there as a CEO? And how can I help eradicate racism? Well, I probably can't do it all by myself, but what can be my level of protest? Mm-hmm. And I started to think about all of my black friends that I absolutely love and I've been with throughout my entire life. And I asked myself the question from empathy. I thought, have they been suffering all along? And I just didn't see it because I was always with them, hanging out with them, having a great time, doing all that. But I didn't realize the amount of pain that they've been carrying until I went deep into empathy and started to understand what it must be like to be black. And when I got to that point, even though I'll never truly get to the depths of that, I started to see myself in all the years that I've been complicit. And I started to realize that, okay, here's the deal. You know, if I embraced my voice, what would my voice tell me? Or what would that energy tell me? It would say, well, you can't be a part-time anti-racist. Yes. So as a CEO, I look at it this way. I can certainly make a stand and hold myself accountable at my company, but then I need to take it beyond that. And I need to go to the streets and I need to serve as an example there. And I may not be able to march physically, but I can march in means of getting other CEOs on board with this as well. And so I look at that and I go, well, what part of that? Who's telling me to do that? Who's telling me that that is the right way to be and go? It's the same energy that's been with me since the beginning. And so the more I turn that energy up, that voice, I call it the voice or the knowing, whatever you want to call that, the more I realize that there's so much opportunity out there to help others realize it as well. And we can, and we look at all the things that are going wrong with the world, or at least the things that are presenting themselves to us from, you know, from systemic racism to the actual pandemic and the fact that people are not wearing masks, to climate, you know, to politics and all of that stuff. And you know, what I really am hopeful for is that it's the pandemic is giving us an opportunity to take a step back and look at what's going on in the world. Because for the first time ever, it has a global captive audience, right? So we're able to see all of the things that are happening out there. And we're able to see that, you know, that the discord and the fact that things aren't, you know, that things aren't going well.
Yes.
And, And unless we band together, unless we each do our part in helping the world, make the world a better place, then I don't think we're going to stand a chance of lasting. And so that's why it's so important right now for all of us to come together and be brave.
Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills. I want to tell you guys about this really cool app that I have teamed up with. It's called Payphone X. Basically, what you do is you go to your app store, wherever you get the apps for your smart devices, and you download the Payphone X app. It's for international celebrities, athletes, singers to send you video messages, text messages, phone calls. It's a really quick registration for you, and then you just go right to the search engine and you can find your celebrity. It's called Payphone X. Make sure you download it. Search out J. Lewis Mills. I'm on there as well. Now let's get back to the show. Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills, host of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. If you are in the Los Angeles area and you need new headshots, I would like to recommend Eric Lee Huffman. He actually did my demo reel. You can reach Eric at headshotsbyhuffman@gmail.com. That's headshotsbyhuffman, H-U-F-F-M-A-N, @gmail.com. Or you can call him at 323-364-4685. Tell them J. Lewis sent you. Now let's get back to the show. So a couple of things.
You got to interrupt me because I drink a cup of coffee right before I.
Okay. No worries at all. It's all good stuff. But a couple of things that I wanted to say. I have said on my show more than once that I not now nor ever will be the spokesperson for the Black community.
Yeah.
There are too many of us, and we all have our own individual minds. So I will never be the spokesman for the Black community. But you said something that kind of rang in my head. And as one of the ones that feels like I get it, you said that, you didn't realize that all of your black friends that you have, you didn't realize that they were going through the pain that they were going through. You never saw it. You never knew about it. Well, one of those reasons could possibly be, David, is because you are what could be seen as the safe place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When people deal with you, and I can only speak from my personal experience with you, as well as with other people that are not of my racial background, that I can see as the safe place. And what that means is, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you deal with this particular person, you're not going to have to be on the same guard that you are on when you are dealing with everyday regular people.
Yeah.
So I would venture to say one of the reasons why you didn't see it as much as others saw it, because in a sense, in a way, I don't want to say us as Black people, we try and keep it from certain people.
Yeah.
But as I said, with being within that safe place, there's just certain things that not only you have to worry about, but certain things that aren't talked about either.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can totally relate to what you're saying, because I can now look back and when I was a kid, I could look back and see my relationship with my friends then. I can look back at my relationships over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. and I'm incredibly close, you know, to them. And, it gets me a little choked up, because I've realized that, just in the past, I've said that that energy doesn't see color or doesn't know age or any of that. And yes. I found that to be, you know, a complicit as well, because there are a lot of people who are suffering. And so I've just gone through a period of learning to unlearn, because I believe that we're all growing, right? And hopefully all evolving. But, I certainly understand where you're coming from. And what I would say is, you know, one of the things that, and I've certainly had these conversations I remember in the 90s with a few of my Black friends. And, you know, for me, because I come from San Leandro, I talked about that. Mm-hmm. I come from a big family, and my father, I don't know if I ever mentioned to you, but my father was a Marine and a Teamster, and he got shot up pretty bad in the war. So he suffered from severe case of PTSD, and needless to say, it was a pretty tough upbringing for us. And so for me, I felt like I was going through my own war, and I just felt like everybody had a war back then. And, you know, when you're going through that type of war as a kid, and you grow up in a poor neighborhood, and you're, you know, hustling and just trying to, you know, do whatever you can to, you know, to help people out to make ends meet. You start to, you're in your own world, and you don't really know enough about the struggle, you know, of what Black people have been going through. And when I started to look back and started to do, you know, a little bit of going within and a little bit of soul searching, I started to see all of those moments. And then I think it really came to fruition when my dad he was a scrappy guy, you know, and he'd always tell the kids to go out to the front yard and pull weeds, right? And that was our assignment on a Saturday with a bag. We'd bring a bag with us. And he would, when I would pull weed, sometimes I would pull it from the top, and he'd say, no, David, you got to go into the dirt, and I want to make sure you pull the roots out and you grab the seeds as well, because you don't want this to grow back.
Same thing my grandfather did. Same exact thing. Told us not to pull. Exactly. Yeah.
And so when I thought about that, and I think about what's going on in the world today, and the fact that it's so easy to dismiss this once again, you know, to like, not dismiss it, because I don't want to discredit the people out there, the brave people who have done everything in their power to help make D&I, you know, an everyday thing. But when I think about pulling that weed, and I think about systemic racism, it's not enough just to pull the weed from the top. We got to go in and we got to get the roots out.
Get it by the root. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And the seeds. And we pack it into a piece of newspaper and we burn it. And then what we do together, like, you know, obviously, you know, there are a lot of things that we need to take care of. But right now, I would say Black people's house is burning, and we've got to help them in every way, shape or form. And if we can do that, which I know we can, mm-hmm. we will eradicate this for good. And then together we'll go on to defeat other things, because we'll be so much more powerful together. And so I believe that is, at least I look at that watershed moment as an opportunity for us to come together to eradicate something that has been that Black people have been carrying for centuries, and to help cure or heal the world as one.
Yeah. And I absolutely, I do agree with what you're saying. My question to you is, as you said, you know, not only being homeless is that a difficult thing to get out of, but to stand alone, to stand on your own, so to speak, is one of those things that's difficult to do. It's a lot easier for people to go with the masses because there's more than one person that agrees with them, so they get strength in that.
Yeah.
When you have to stand out on an island and you have to stand up for what you believe in, even though your friends or your family don't believe in that same thing, I think that's where people's nervousness or that's where people's fright comes in. So I wonder if, and you know, again, on my show or just even in regular conversation, you know, I've had conversations with people and they said, you know, I wish I would be alive to live in a world that did not have any racism whatsoever. And I have said to people, I don't think that time is ever going to happen because there's always going to be money on the other side of the fence for someone to get. It's almost like if you want to take the context of like a superhero movie, like there's always has to be a villain in order for the good guy to look like the good guy. But I sit sometimes and I wonder, because it's so much easier to go along with the masses, because we as a society, meaning the United States of America, I mean this worldwide, but because we have lost the want, the passion, the tenacity to stand alone, to stand on our own, to stand up for what we believe in, I, number one, wonder at what point that shift happened. And two, I wonder what will have to happen for people to come out of their shells. Because when we very first spoke and you were telling me about you wanting me to be involved with the movement, I said to you, one of the reasons why I am going to work so hard to make my career something of substance is because I want to be somebody that is on a platform where people listen to what I say. And if I have to be some big celebrity in order to get there, fine. That's great. But what I want people to do is to say, if J. Lewis Mills could do that, I can do it too. So my main goal is getting people out of that shell. Stop listening to what everybody around you says. And because you don't have enough backbone, you just listen to what everyone says. So for me, in my perfect world, we would just get to a point where we did say enough is enough. Yeah. And I do believe that with everything that happened from Memorial Day on.
Yeah.
For me to have in one day to actually within hours of each other in two different cities in the United States of America on the same day, you had an officer putting his knee in a man's neck and murdering him. I'll just say it, murdering him. Mm-hmm. And then in New York, you had a woman that was looking into a video camera saying, I'm going to call the police and tell them a black man is threatening my life.
Yeah.
I think am I saying that those two things, that's the worst that's ever happened to my community in one day? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. However, what I am saying, in the year 2020, for those two things to happen the same day in the same country that's supposed to be free for everybody, yeah, I think that is the beginning of of a change where people are just not tolerating certain things anymore, or people are seeing and people are realizing that so much is going on behind closed doors. We yeah. need to bring some of those closed door situations to light. So
isn't that the audacity of hope?
Yes.
It's believing, giving yourself permission to believe that this could be the beginning of something great.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, when you think about that, you know, just seeing white people marching, which I'd say in huge, you know, huge sort of protests.
Yes.
And the fact that I really believe at the end of the day that there are enough people on this earth that believe that if we all come together, that, you know, that we have to have the courage to come together.
Yes. And that's why I say what I was saying about
a unified statement.
That's why I was saying I believe we have hit a time
yep.
where enough is enough. Now, I know, just because I had family members or my grandparents, you know, I'm sitting talking to my grandparents, as well as you can see pictures and video. Yep. There were Caucasian people that marched with Martin Luther King.
Oh, yes.
During his time.
Yes.
There weren't as many.
There weren't as many.
As there are now.
And there weren't as many channels and many social media out
there. Exactly. So I think, again, that's why that's where I'm getting my enough is enough.
Yeah.
Because I am seeing people from the Caucasian community that are saying, look, I now recognize my white privilege. I don't appreciate having this privilege, so let me use it in yeah. order to help you. You know, it's like somebody that has too much of something. Well, I don't need this. Let me just give it to you so that it doesn't go to waste.
Absolutely.
So do I think that we have turned that corner? Absolutely not. Do I think there's still a lot that has to happen? Absolutely. However, I will say, I think one of the most important things that I believe is going to change sooner rather than later is the level of police brutality. Because after George Floyd, if something like that happens again, if something like if something to that level of tragedy happens again,
there will be no saving us.
None whatsoever.
Yeah, totally understand. So let's go back to what you said, and I love, because all of this is coming back to the notion of being brave, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
The notion of being brave and standing strong and being true to who you are and understanding at the end of the day that we are all one. And that is something that, you know, when you think about where we are today, and there's been so much pressure on everyone to achieve status, so much pressure on people to achieve millions of followers and all of that, which at the end of the day is, again, that's a man-made type thing.
Yes.
As opposed to something that's being innate. And the fact that in itself has forced people to become much more isolated, much more like, I'm on my own, it's me against the world, I'm on my own, I'm the greatest, you know, just the notion of GOAT, right? The
yes.
greatest of all time. You see people, for the most part, kids aspire to do that, right? You see people who have made their millions and yet they could care less about anybody else out there, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that whole perpetuation of being great and excelling at all costs and going above and beyond everybody else, right? To me, I think that is one of the things that's going to keep us from coming together, keep us from feeling empathy for each other, right? Because yes. that's when the classes start to separate even more. And that is growing exponentially. And unless we stop that, unless we come together as one to help each other out, to help out the homeless situation, to help out autism, to help out mental illness, to help out systemic racism, to help out and solve these things together, because we're so much better together. If we don't come together and use our resources and our intelligence and our empathy together to solve this together, then it's only going to grow. That fear and those challenges are only going to grow exponentially, right? So it takes a tremendous amount of courage to walk away from your own self-interest. Tremendous amount of courage to know that we are so much better together. And so I really believe that helping people understand that philosophy, helping people understand that, you know, where does giving back come from? Where does, you know, empathy or authentic care come from? It's not something that you just do. It's not something that you read in a book and go, oh, I should give back, you know, I should help somebody out here. No, that comes from the most purest place that there is. And that is the innate sort of feeling that you are connected on every level with everyone. And I believe that, you know, throughout all the challenges and everything that we're facing every day, that if we can simply allow ourselves to feel that energy of who we are before we even came here, that energy that you know what it is.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And if we can allow ourselves to feel that togetherness, then you'll start to see even greater change out there. And it is about forgiving ourselves. It's about forgiving each other. You know, it's about, you know, taking a look, a long look at, you know, our history. And a lot of that's happening right now. It's about giving people permission to not be called out, but called in. So if you're called in, what does that mean? That means you're brought in. And you're brought in, and we can help each other get to that place. We can help each other. We can help with education. We can help impoverished areas. We can help with you know, the unemployment factor. We can help with all of these things together. And if you could bring the CEOs, and if you could bring people of influence and philanthropists and all the people out there who have succeeded in life, to have them come together for the greater good, then I believe we will unlock our greatest potential. And our greatest potential is exponential bravery.
What do you think is stopping such a thing from happening in today's world? What do you think? Why do you think that hasn't happened yet?
I believe that we're at that point. Take a look at, I've said this a couple of times to my employees that, 40 years from now, people are going to look back at 2020 and remember as a time that we all came together and we figured it out. And I really believe that's what's happening right now. We're at the beginning of that. And so you look at where we've been when everybody thought like, oh my God, this world is coming to an end. But I look at right now. And I look at the opportunity and the conversations that we're having. In fact, this is probably the third conversation I've had today about this. I have so much hope and so much, so much hope that we are right now. This is the beginning of the unlearning and the beginning of action, real action, you know, together. And it may not happen in this generation, but this is the beginning.
Do you think we will need a different mindset in our government administration?
Absolutely. And I think that if we gave people permission to believe that at the end of the day, that we are all brave and we're all capable of realizing our true potential, whether that be starting a business, being an actor, you know, to come from nothing to be something, I'm living proof of that. I came from nothing, got kicked out of high school, and I was a Teamster or truck driver or a forklift driver, and I ended up becoming a owner of a company and a nonprofit. And I think that, you know, my goal and my path is to help inspire others to believe that they can do the same. And they just simply need to let go of fear, let go of, and I know it's a tough thing, but that's where bravery comes in. Let go of their past, let go of the mistakes that they've made and whatever that may be, and really go all in with bravery, you know, cause you're going to need a lot of that to truly believe that you can make a difference. And I believe we all can. You can start anything, be anything, do anything, you know, as long as you, you know, believe in yourself. And that belief isn't something that just goes away, that builds on by action, surrounding yourself with like-minded people, looking within and seeing, you know, the times that you have been brave and the benefits that have come from that.
Yeah.
And that goes, you know, that goes back to that feeling I talked about. You know, I remember when I was young, I was riding my bike. I was a paper boy for the Oakland Tribune, right? And I was riding my bike and I saw somebody being beat up. I think I was like 12 years old or something like that. I saw a kid being beat up at a local Safeway. And I was on my bike. It was the last, I was done with my route. I was going to go to the store to get a Coke or something. I saw this kid being beat up by two boys. And I thought to myself, I can easily just drive away. But there was a moment where all of a sudden it was kind of a lull moment where I was given the opportunity to just drive away or the opportunity to go all in. And I chose to go all in and I drove right up to the kid. He's older than me and I just closed my eyes and I jumped off my bike and I threw a punch. It was probably the greatest punch in the world and it knocked him flat on the ground and his brother looked at him, who was big. And they just started chasing me and I just ran around inside the store and eventually lost them. But I remember that moment where I had it was absolute clarity, that in between moment, the choice between fear and bravery. And for some reason, I went with bravery. And so when you build on that moment, those brave moments, and you remember those, and you look back at your history, and you see all the times that you were brave, whether you were on the streets, right? And you know what I'm talking about. There's moments where you probably almost gave up, right?
Yes.
But you had that bravery. I mean, even talking to you right now, the last time I saw you, you know, there's a moment where you can easily just give in to fear and give in to doubt and give in to the situation. But what makes someone rise above? What makes somebody come out of the mess that they're in, or the fact that they were born in a situation where they didn't have a lot or didn't have the same type of education or upbringing as their friends? What makes them rise above? It really is that moment of bravery. And you can easily look back at all of the times that you were brave and look at how each time that you believed in that force, that energy, you know, each time it gave you a little bit more confidence. And I really believe that's what we all have in us. We just need to keep building on that.
Very well said. Very well said. And I absolutely, again, agree with everything that you're saying. I don't know if this is a fair question, but it is a question that I would like to hear what the difference for you is. Because you do help so many people, a lot of times you help people that you don't even know. What in your words, what is the difference between lending a helping hand and giving someone a handout?
Yeah. Enabling to disable.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I remember I was in Soweto a long time ago. We were shooting in Johannesburg, a commercial, and I was walking around the shanty towns and, the kids were coming up to me and I think I was in my early 30s and I was at a shoot, you know, And of course, we're with the production crew, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And as the kids came up to me asking for candy and money, there were a few people that were adults around that would come up to me and say, please don't give them anything. You're teaching them to beg. And I thought about that. And I thought, wow, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know? That if you do that enough, then they're never going to learn how to stand on their own. Right. And I've been in that situation where I've seen that a few times, you know, where I've given, but I believe or I thought, oh, okay, am I enabling to disable? But then I think about, you know, the hero's journey, and we're all on a journey, and sometimes, you know, sometimes one little act of altruism is enough to spark a bravery in someone, right?
Yes, yes.
That it may not affect the person that you're helping, but maybe somebody else is watching you do it, right? And maybe that person watches you do it is going to affect, you know, 1,000 people from there. And so I think about that. And then I think when it comes to philanthropy and nonprofits, I think about the traditional sense of that in that it's a lot of, you know, fundraising and donations and stuff like that. And I think about what I would like to see if I was to donate something to someone. I would love to see if I were to donate, as opposed to just giving the money away, right? I'd love to watch the sustainability and to feel the impact that is made, right? For instance, when we created the 100 Roofs Project, it could have been easier to just give money to them, but this whole notion of teach a man a fish that was already started by Heart 911, and to just watch the effect that it had on the person's morale that they were teaching, the communities, how they had this incredible sense of pride and gratitude, of course. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, that is far greater. It's a far greater feeling than just handing money out there. Money.
Yes.
I don't know where it's going to go. You don't know if it's going to operations or somebody else's pocket or whatever, but be able to see that effect. Mm-hmm. To me, I really believe that is the amazing opportunity for not only philanthropy, but for everyone out there is this notion of giving people the opportunity and a sense of pride, right? As opposed to just, you know, a handout. And I think a lot of Tiffany, the woman who owns Shine on Sierra Leone, talked about this too with her students at Muddy Lotus. And I thought to myself, well, if we can do that for everyone in the world, if we gave them that sense of pride and that sense of, it's pride and it is also a sense of self, right? Strong sense of self. Well, then, you know, hopefully that person will then share that in another way with somebody else. It's the whole pay it forward, movement.
Yes.
Of helping others. And so what I try to instill in our employees and the people that I work with in regards to Today in Brave is, let's put it out there. Let's help people help themselves. Right? Help people help themselves. Mm-hmm. Help people lift themselves. Right? And let's do everything we can to make sure that we are showing the respect and, you know, that they deserve. Mm-hmm. And just know that at some point in our lives, we're going to be in a moment of frailty where we need a helping hand. And so there's so many ways to look at it, you know. But I do believe, you know, that I do believe in a sense of there are people that you just have to give it to because right now all they need is a bottle of water, right? And then there are the bigger sort of situations where you want it to be, you know, more of a movement that's more sustainable so that those people can find their way out of the challenge and hopefully rise, even bigger so that they can in turn help others the same way.
Would you ever, you know what? I'm going to save the question I was getting ready to ask you. I'm going to take a quick break for a couple of commercials and then I'll come back. We'll wrap it up, but I have one more question to ask you before we wrap it up. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills. I want to tell you guys about this really cool app that I've teamed up with. It's called Payphone X. Basically, what you do is you go to your app store, wherever you get the apps for your smart devices, and you download the Payphone X app. It's for international celebrities, athletes, singers to send you video messages, text messages, phone calls. It's a really quick registration for you, and then you just go right to the search engine and you can find your celebrity. It's called Payphone X. Make sure you download it. Search out J. Lewis Mills. I'm on there as well. Now let's get back to the show. Before the commercial break, I wanted to ask you, have you found yourself in a situation where someone came to you and they asked you for something, but you recognize that it was actually enabling them to disable them, and you had to turn them down?
Yes, a few times, and it's the toughest thing in the world, right? Because you want to help everyone, right? And also you have to, you know, there's only so much you can do, right?
Yes.
You want to make sure that you want to be as sensitive and empathic as possible, to that person, because you don't know what they've been through. And so, but there are moments, obviously where I've had to, you know, just this morning I was at a gas station and there was a young kid who was, you know, he had a mask on and he came up to me and he just didn't look good at all. And I didn't know if he was, you know, a drug addict or not, but he just, and he spoke to me in Spanish and I looked at him and I at first, you know, cause he was coming towards me a little fast, and I just put my hand out saying, excuse me, please don't come, you know?
Yes.
And I had just put my mask on. I was pumping gas. And then I turned around and just saw him go back. And I thought for a second, here's somebody who probably has no one out there. And this is what he's doing right now. And I thought about that. And you always have to look at it. Am I giving it to a drug addict, or am I giving it to somebody who just right now needs a buck?
Yes.
And I turned back around and I gave him a dollar, you know, because I didn't know where he was coming from. And then I heard over the loudspeaker, the gas station guy told him, not here, you know, and I saw the guy pick up his bag and walk away. And I felt like at that moment, I felt that there was a part of me that, to your point, you know, you reach that, you know, where is that line? There was a while ago, somebody told me, said, listen, you know, true gratitude isn't expecting something in return, right? You shouldn't have to give something and expect something back, because you don't know who that person is. It could be a messenger of God. It could be whoever. Just give because you believe that giving is, you know, is the right thing to do, and that you're helping somebody. You're showing empathy. You're showing compassion to somebody. And it's a very tough thing to do, because we're all human, right? We want to make sure we're not these people who are just always throwing money out there without, but it's that, point of, I guess, observation, where you think about, you know, should I give, am I enabling to disable, or should I give because this person just right now probably needs something to eat or something to drink. And to me, I just, at this point in my life, I do that and then I let go. I let go of that and I go on. And that way I'm not, you know, overanalyzing or thinking about it too much. But I think it's a feeling. You get it from a feeling. You get it from, you know, seeing that person. And then, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, you try to do whatever you can to make that, you know, to do it on that level and then on even bigger levels. And whether you're attached to, a nonprofit or attached to, we have a few clients. One in particular is the Covenant House, or our association with the Weingart Foundation. You try to do it in other ways as well that can affect it even on a larger scale.
Well, Mr. Angelo, I thank you very kindly, sir, for being here, speaking to me during my show and to my listeners as well. I usually, before I give my ending commentary, I like to ask my guests what words you would like to leave my listeners with. And I mean, you blessed us with so much good in this interview.
Yeah.
I don't mean to continue to try and take from you, but what would you like to leave my listeners with?
What I'd like to leave your listeners with is that the greater good can only come from the greater you, right? And that we all have it in us to become the greater you. And you just have to let go of fear and go all in with brave, because brave is who you really are. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you again very kindly, Mr. Angelo, for being here. If anybody wants to donate to any of your nonprofit organizations, how would they go about doing that?
Go check out todayandbrave.org and just, follow us and do whatever you can out there. Do whatever part you can to help make the world a better place. We also have these empathy masks that we're trying to get as many people in California to wear. Because not only is it, I believe, going to help, what's the expression of the curve? It's going to help us get back, on the road to, to sort of, not normal, but better normal.
Yes. Okay.
And bend the curve. That's what it is. And it also just is a demonstration of your empathy and the fact that you're wearing a mask, not just for yourself, but you're wearing it for others.
Well, as I said to you all earlier, I wanted to have David Angelo on my show for some time. And now that we've had our conversation, you can understand why. You know, outside of the representatives that I was paying, Mr. Angelo and his movement of Today I'm Brave were some of the first people that actually reached out, because they not only respected me and what I did, but they believed in me. And, in the business that I work in, or even just in the walk of life that we walk today, it's difficult to find true, genuine people that believe in you. So I just want to leave you all with this. You have that voice in your head that everybody has. You need to listen to that voice more than you listen to the voices of those people telling you what you can't do, what you can't succeed in, where you can't go, what you can't buy. You have to stop doing that, because maybe they're in a place in their life where they can't do whatever it is they're telling you can't do. And they don't want to see you or anybody else have any success doing or buying whatever it is they're talking about. So My hope and my prayer and my wish for everyone is to believe in yourselves more than you do other people. We have turned into a people that will pick up a telephone to text a friend or call a friend or a family member. Hey, I just wanted to ask you what you thought about this. Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts or your opinions on what if I wanted to do this or that or, you know, whatever it is. Listen to you. If you think you can do it, you can do it. I thank you all for joining me again this evening. Next week, we'll have another cool show. Excuse me. We'll have another cool show. I look forward to it. I hope you all stay safe. I hope you love one another as well as yourselves. Have a good week. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.